from KQED.
This week in Monterey, an international group of scientists and policymakers meet to talk about what many are calling Plan B for dealing with climate change. There is already more CO2 in the atmosphere than many scientists say is healthy for civilization as we know it. If levels keep rising, some think we might need an emergency break. Craig Miller and Gretchen Weber of our Climate Watch Initiative have been looking into what that break might be.
It turns day into night.
Ah, yes, who could forget the climactic scenes from the volcano disaster film Dante's Peak?
Climactic, yes, but also climatic. I didn't know this until recently, but it turns out that volcanic eruptions can actually affect the Earth's temperature. They can cool it, so much so that one idea scientists have for slamming the brakes on global warming is to mimic volcanoes, which probably don't really sound like this.
Okay, so obviously you're not saying that hot lava is the answer to global warming.
Not hot lava, sulfur particles. When volcanoes erupt, they blast tiny particles or aerosols into the sky, and that blocks the sun, which causes cooling. I talked to Stanford climatologist Ken Caldera.
Isn't that the perfect name?
Well, yeah, who says that volcanic aerosols are really good at reflecting solar energy back into space, and we've seen it happen.
In 1991, there was a volcano in the Philippines known as Mount Pinatubo, and 1992 was much cooler than 1991, despite the fact that greenhouse gases continued to accumulate in the atmosphere.
So, if temperatures start climbing too high, the solution is blast a bunch of sulfur into the stratosphere?
Well, potentially. I mean, there are some issues.
Like how we get it up there.
For starters, there's been some talk of using big naval guns and just shooting it into the stratosphere.
I knew those World War II-era battleships would come in handy again.
Yeah, too bad most of them are museums now.
True.
Airplanes are another potential delivery system, as is suspending a big hose from balloons. And there are lots of other ideas for blocking the sun, too, like launching zillions of mirrors into orbit or making clouds more reflective by constantly spraying seawater at them.
Seawater?
That's the theory. More aerosol particles, whatever they are, water, dirt, gas, makes droplets smaller and more numerous in the clouds, which then makes them brighter and more reflective. But back to the volcano idea, we know that it works. Technologically speaking, we could deploy it tomorrow.
Well, that might be the sulfur shot heard round the world. Imagine the fallout, if one country just started darkening the skies with sulfur particles.
Well, that's a huge issue, too. But what's really interesting about this sulfur aerosol idea is how little it would cost. A few billion, Caldera says.
All right, a billion here, a billion there.
Yeah, but when you compare that with the trillions economists say it'll take to green our energy economy, it's no wonder some people are concerned.
The problem with putting sulfur aerosols in the stratosphere is almost that it's too easy to do, it's too cheap, and doesn't require any cooperation. Any significant power could do it on their own.
Scientists have done computer simulations and found that if somebody did spray enough sulfur around to do the job, it might improve living conditions for, say, 90% of the people on Earth. But it's likely that for the other 10%, the outcome wouldn't be so great.
Collateral damage.
Exactly. I mean, let's say the climate was getting really bad in the U.S. and the president said, hey, let's throw some dust around the stratosphere and cool things off, and then China goes into a drought. I mean, whether or not it's because of the U.S. climate intervention, I can see things heating up between some countries.
At the very least, I think they demand compensation.
Well, and there's another issue, too. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions is hard, and it's expensive. With an easy, cheap option like this on the table, people could get pretty complacent.
People might say, oh, well, we don't have to work so hard to reduce emissions, and you might end up with a world that has higher greenhouse gas concentrations and huge amounts of engineering. And it's pretty clear that the end game of that trajectory is pretty ugly.
And once you start this kind of geoengineering of the climate, you can't stop. It's kind of like using a girdle to fight obesity. When you take it off, the problem's still going to be there, and it just might be worse.
And he's not the only one to point that out. One of Caldera's own former professors, as it happens, points out that there's no way to model geoengineering in a lab. Any practical test to see how geoengineering would affect the atmosphere would have to be done
in the atmosphere.
Afraid so. Martin Bunzel is the director of the Initiative on Climate Change and Social Policy at Rutgers, and he puts it like this.
It's almost like deciding to inoculate the whole world population against AIDS without ever testing it on one patient or one animal first.
And we wouldn't even consider that.
Heck no, which is why most scientists seem to agree that this is a last-ditch strategy at best.
I don't think this is going to go anywhere except to maybe deploy a limited amount of money for research to take place. But I cannot conceive that planetary-wide geoengineering would be implemented on a unilateral basis by a country.
Caldera thinks it's unlikely, too, given the political and environmental risks. But he does think we need to do more research to see if these strategies are even plausible.
If climate intervention won't work and will only make things worse, it's important that we know that as soon as possible, and so we can just move this off the table and get on with the hard work of emissions reduction.
In fact, some scientists say that even this week's meeting in Monterey is premature, though it could be useful in proposing some ground rules going forward.
But others think it's high time to start putting these issues on the table, because the truth is, if we ever do start geoengineering, it's probably going to be because of an emergency, and in that case, there's not going to be a whole lot of time for talk. For the California Report, I'm Gretchen Weber.
And I'm Craig Miller.
Find other geoengineering ideas online at californiareport.org/climatewatch.